former broadcast partner of mine on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, and very good friend Vince Ferrara, kind enough to check in. Vince, how are things on Rocky Top these days, bud?
Oh, they're just anticipating someone's arrival this Saturday.
Well, tell them I'm looking forward to seeing them, too.
I don't think you would get anywhere near the hatred that a certain offensive coordinator will receive. And the student section, Chris, he's going to be on the sideline, obviously. I believe it was Kiffin. I'm not exactly sure. I need to research this. But someone told me that the student section was moved to, or actually they changed the sidelines to where the visiting sideline was nearer to the student section. So now the students are going to be right there behind Alabama sidelines to be able to give it back to Kiffin this weekend.
Well, here's the thing. Were those kids not in elementary or junior high when he was the coach there?
Yeah, but I think
they've heard.
Yeah, and especially if you're in a fraternity, I think it's part of the initial packet that you receive. Here's the background story.
Hey, here's who you hate and why.
Exactly.
I got you. It's the Phil Fulmer thing. Their kids, yeah, we had lost to Tennessee in their lifetimes, and they know. 7-year-old kid knows if I see Phil Fulmer, I'm kicking him in the shins. Anyway,
no.
Vince Ferrara joining us from lovely Knoxville, Tennessee, Alabama, and the Big Orange, 6:30 kick, ESPN2 television. Of course, we'll have it for you on Tide 99.1 with pregame starting at 3:30 Central. All right, the season starts off really good. Tennessee takes two games, Utah State, Arkansas State, reputable opponents. They're in this one late third, early fourth against Oklahoma. Wheels come off. Had the shot in Athens, couldn't get it done. Had Florida beat, couldn't get it done. Are they still believing, or have they got one foot off of the Butch Jones bandwagon right now?
Well, with this fan base, it's never just one thing. It's a little bit of all the above. I do think that there are still fans, a lot of them. I would say most of them still do believe in Butch Jones. And they're frustrated that they didn't get the Florida game. I think that's the one, because if you thought that Tennessee would make it to a bowl game, you were counting on a win against Florida, especially with as bad as Florida has looked. So that's what ratchets up the pain and the disappointment, is you had your rivals finally beat and you lose in that fashion. So
yeah.
I think that's kind of brought down the mood even more than it normally would have. But it what happened, Chris, and I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, is because they were competitive in those losses to Oklahoma and Georgia, the bar was raised off of losses. And now the expectation was increased off of losses. Yes, you're in competitive. It was encouraging. I get that. But then now when you get to Florida, it was a no-brainer, an absolute that you were going to beat Florida. And then when that didn't happen, plus the rivalry aspect of it, all of that, it just took the wind out of the sails of a lot of fans. Some of them don't believe Tennessee will make it to a bowl game. Some still are holding out hope. But the team is different. I do think the team still believes, and as well as the defense is playing, if they can do something on offense in the month of November, if the defense continues to play that well, they'll have a shot against some flawed teams on that schedule.
Now, I agree, because, I know what's happened. I know they've dropped 4 out of 5. I know that they're probably going to lose. Dear Lord, I hope they lose Saturday, okay, to Alabama. But, you know, those final four games, it's amazing to think that, well, I'm not going to say Kentucky's the toughest, but Kentucky is playing, even with what happened in Baton Rouge, with maybe the second highest level of confidence of those final four, with Missouri being the one that feels probably best about themselves.
Yeah, and that might be the reality of what the players will face. The fans don't look at it
that way. I got
you.
That's a different dynamic entirely. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a whole different deal. It's a very young offensive line. Physically, they are beaten up and battered right now, are they not?
They are, and really, to be frank, Chris, they weren't very good even with the starting five. And now you're looking at one of their two freshmen, Coleman Thomas, is banged up in the in the Ole Miss game. And Marcus Jackson, who's been their most consistent, he's their oldest, most experienced lineman at left guard. He's banged up. Now, Butch Jones expects both of them to play this weekend, but they just don't have very many bodies as options. The guy that was supposed to come in and really help keep guys in their more appropriate positions was junior college transfer Dontavis Blair. Alabama wanted him. I think Alabama was on the short list for him. A lot of schools wanted him. It was a high four-star JUCO offensive tackle. They're doing everything they possibly can to redshirt him this year. He came in the spring overweight, and then he really hasn't been able to adjust here in camp and during the season. And so they have not been able to even find him a way or feel good about him being on the field and trusting him. That's how much of a disappointment that signing has been. So, plus they had Derek Dooley's 2012 signing class with zero offensive linemen, which is insane. And it's really hurting them. So they don't even have very many other options to go to. It's very bad. They can't do much. It affects their play calling. It affects Worley because now he's pressing. You have to keep extra people to protect, and even those guys aren't doing well. The receivers can't get off of press coverage because teams know that they can't protect Worley long enough to where they're not going to give up the big play. It all centers around the offensive line, and they're all connected. It's a lot of issues right now.
Go back to that for a minute, please, where you're talking about, and I've heard this before, you know, where Dooley didn't get a single lineman in that particular class, and I've forgotten which year you said, but was that a deal where they lost two or three guys on signing day that they thought they had? As best you can recall, how does that happen?
Coaching staff incompetence. That would be my best guess. After he was here, you learned more about how he wouldn't go to high school games, and there were former NFL players in the state that were coaches at high schools in the state, and he never even talked to them. It was the lack of embracing high school coaches in the state and in the radius that they recruit. And it just wasn't doing all those basic things that smart coaches like Saban and Butch Jones and know it's a relationship business and recruiting do. So that was the biggest thing. Were they in on guys? Did they offer guys? Yeah, they offered as many guys as anyone in the country. But the problem is that you don't have a relationship, and if you don't go see schools before they have players, and then when they do have a player, then you just show up. Coaches and players are not going to respect you as much whether you offer or not. So I think that was a big part of what happened with those guys. And then also a couple guys did decommit. I think Dan Skipper, he was in 2013, was part of Brett Bielema's first class. But there were a couple guys that I believe were committed at one point that then decommitted afterwards. But I think the biggest part was the lack of strong relationships. And Chris, I'll say one other thing in terms of recruiting. In the 2013 class, which is Butch Jones's first year, it was the first year for all the second year coaches in the SEC, Bielema, Stoops, and Malzahn at Auburn, in addition to Butch Jones. Butch Jones right now, out of 22 players in the 2013 signing class, the one that he pieced together at the end, just like all those coaches did, he only has four starters out of that 2013 class, his first, and everyone else's first. And of those four, only one committed to Butch Jones after he was named as a coach at Tennessee. That everyone else is backups, and they are deep in the depth chart and not really factors. In this year's class, they have a bunch of freshmen, the eight of them that are starting right now for the 2014 class. So that class looks strong. But I think the fact of the lack of productivity out of that first Butch Jones class, whereas the other schools are getting four, five, up to seven. Kentucky, Mark Stoops has seven starters that committed to him after he was named the coach at Kentucky. So a lot of those other coaches were able to get more impact players in the first year than what Butch Jones has in his first class.
So I know only time will tell, but from what you're telling me, it sounds as though Tennessee is very much in danger of seeing the trend that they're on right now and have been continuing in terms of production, or lack thereof.
Yeah, Chris, I'm sorry. And if you look ahead to next year, they have four offensive linemen in the class. None of them are elite. Drew Richmond committed to Ole Miss. Now he's going to be visiting another unofficial visit. He was here for the Florida game. He was at Ole Miss for the Tennessee game this past Saturday. He'll be in Knoxville for the Alabama game this weekend, and Alabama certainly was in the mix as a finalist for him as well. He's a big offensive tackle from Memphis. So Tennessee's still hoping they can flip some guys on the offensive line. They need elite linemen. It's not just the experience and youth. It's are they good enough, and they need more bodies. And for next year, you're talking about if they just have the four freshmen that are committed now, the four guys that are committed now, they're going to be freshmen. So how much of an improvement are you going to have next year? Are these guys on this year's team, are they good enough to take that next step even with more experience, another year in the strength program? And then you have the fact of the quarterback position. They're trying to redshirt Joshua Dobbs because they had to play him as a freshman last year. A lot of fans, a lot of people have given up on him already. Will he develop? And then you have two true freshmen in the 2015 signing class. Can you rely on true freshmen at quarterback? More than likely, no. So then you're talking about another year of in critical positions at quarterback and offensive line where you're still not good enough. So this may be delaying that breakout jump year for Tennessee, maybe not even to next year, but the year after, unless something drastically changes.
All of our guests appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. We're talking to Vince Ferrara from the Knoxville News Sentinel sports page on the Sports Animal there in Knoxville. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Sports. All right, for this particular team, Justin Worley, the veteran, the wounded warrior for them, what kind of hope, if any, does he give them this Saturday against Alabama?
Well, he can't press. He pressed against Ole Miss, and he's been hit so many times this year. I'm sure it's an accumulation thing, but he forced some balls. He didn't make accurate throws at times, and he just needs to live for the next play. And I think the coaching staff can help him out with better play calling. There's been times, Chris, where they have had a successful play and then you never see it again. I mean, that happens more often than them going back to a play that works, which to me does not make a whole lot of sense. But I think the coaches can help him out. Will they? I don't know. But Worley cannot try to press and do too much. He's got to get rid of the football. At times, he holds the football too long. But when you give him time, he can make good throws, and he can run this team, and I think his teammates still believe in him. So it's just how he handles another day of what looks to be will be, you know, a long day with a lot of pressure in his face. He has to be great to compensate for that offensive line.
When Johnny Majors was bounced as head coach and replaced by his former player and assistant in Phil Fulmer, nobody then, nobody now, had any questions whatsoever where Johnny Majors stood on Phil Fulmer. If you want to have a good time, ask Phil Fulmer today about Johnny Majors about Phil Fulmer, I should say.
Right.
Fulmer, I'm assuming, is still in Knoxville. He's still around.
Yeah.
What type of profile does he keep relative to, I will say, Dooley and now especially Jones, because the guy that truly followed him left after a year. So where, and the AD that bounced him is no longer there. So what's his relationship with the program? How vocal is he? Is it a Pat Dye type? Is it Gene Stahl? Where is he in that regard to Butch Jones and that staff?
He does interviews and always speaks highly of Butch Jones and the Tennessee program and thinks they're doing good things. And, you know, he went to practice earlier this year for the first time, I believe, since he left. So he has a good relationship with Tennessee. He does some interviews, but he's certainly not as vocal and seen as some of those other coaches and ones that you see in throughout the SEC. You know, he said in an interview in Chattanooga before the season that he didn't think that there was any reason why this year's team, he was trying to show them confidence that they shouldn't get to be able to get to a bowl game, but if they don't jump off of bridges and criticize Butch Jones too much, because it is still a young team. So, you know, a few people kind of scoffed at that, but overall, I still think that he keeps enough a low enough profile to where he's not trying to undermine Butch Jones or anything like that, and he speaks positively enough about Tennessee to where it's not really a factor. It's not a positive or a negative either. And Johnny Majors does an hour on our afternoon show each week, so he's still around as well, and he's a lot more visible, I guess, than Philip Fulmer. But yeah, those guys have to patch things up, though.
No, and they ain't gonna. Finally, before I let you go, SEC Basketball Media Day is taking place today and tomorrow, not in Birmingham, as they have for years, but in Charlotte at the SEC Network headquarters. Donnie Tindall putting together his first team. It's been, talked about a lot as to how he's built the roster back. But I would imagine people are even more so with the way things are going in football, ready for the start of the basketball season there in Knoxville.
Well, there's certainly that curiosity. I like Donnie Tindall. I've seen them practice a couple times, and they're going to have on Friday night, they're going to have a little bit of a, scrimmage, exhibition, slam dunk contest with the men's and women's team Friday night at Thompson Bowling Arena, just to give the fans a little bit of a advanced look on the team. But he's got a lot of new players. A lot of them are raw. They've put on weight, but just not strong enough. You're going to see them be more athletic and be able to play above the rim more than you've seen Konzo Martin teams. But they're going to be skinny in some spots, and they don't have a real true point guard. So there's going to be some excitement, but there's going to be some head-scratching times as well. I think he's a good coach. I like his staff, although a pretty young staff overall. It's going to be kind of, let's just try to maintain and get through this first year, see what we can do, and then build on it and moving forward next year. So I think fans will at least have a little bit more of an entertainment value out of this team than last year.